Well, amen. What an appropriate song for today. Amen. And all the things that everyone's dealing with. And what a blessing to know that we have a heaven to look forward to. Yeah. And we are guided by the unseen. Even though you can't see it, it's bigger than this earth. And you're guided by his unseen hand. And praise the Lord for it. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 on Wednesday nights, our midweek Bible study. We've been studying the life of the Apostle Peter and very practical truths that we can learn from the Apostle Peter. And I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you as you've been studying the life of Peter. Now, we know a lot of the different passages in the book of Acts has to do with John, Peter and John, but we're actually studying just Peter, so even though it might include John, but on this study of the life of the Apostle Peter, we're looking at things through Peter's eyes, and I trust to see things maybe a little different than what you've seen things before, being able to have a personal application to what's taken place, and so that's why I love the studies that we go through on Wednesday night, the character studies, and we try to use go one in the Old Testament, then a New Testament, then back in the Old Testament, and it's just a blessing to know why the Lord has recorded what he has recorded in the lives of these Bible characters. And so Peter is now doing what he was discipled to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had been discipling him, and he was preparing him. He was ready by the time that Jesus would ascend up back into glory to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Peter was ready to do what God had discipled him to do. And he plays a huge part in the first century church, especially during this apostolic age that we're studying here in the book of Acts. And he was arrested. We've got to the place where he was arrested for healing a lame man in the name of Jesus. How ridiculous. Everyone saw that he had done good. Everyone saw that same thing with Jesus. Amen. He never did anything wrong. Never committed a sin. Never acted out of character at all. They crucified him. Because it was of the public opinion. Because there was a group in leadership that led them to think the way they wanted them to think. Yeah, we can see a lot of that taking place. He healed a lame man that had been born lame. His only crime, he did it in the name of Jesus, whom they crucified. Yeah. Well, he was arrested and then brought before the Sanhedrin Council, the same religious rulers that had 8 weeks earlier led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But after realizing they couldn't do that and still hold the public approval, not get elected in the next term, they didn't have him killed because they knew that they would not have been able to do that without the uproar of the people. And so they threatened him and reluctantly let him go. Now, that's just the Bible. That's what the Bible has taught us up to this point. How we apply it today, amen, we can see that's human nature, and this is mentality outside of the Word of God, how evil it can be. Well, tonight, we're going to see what happened right after they let him go. So Acts chapter 4, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verse 23 down to verse 31 tonight. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and what a blessing it is to be able to read and study and receive from you things that will strengthen us in our walk with you. I pray tonight, God, for all that are here and those that are at home watching via the live stream, that you would help each one to sense your presence. I pray for each one that you'd open up their hearts and their minds to receive the truths of your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, so much here, and praise the Lord for it. But right after they let Peter go, we find that Peter immediately reports back to which would be the church that Jesus established. That means the other apostles and those that were with them. This would be the first church. This church was not started, the first church was not started by Peter after the apostolic age. The church was established by Jesus Christ as per the words of Jesus Christ. And so it was here in the apostolic age, and it was the church that he established through the apostles that he had prepared to do the work during this apostolic age, and those that were already following them. That was this the first church. And so immediately when Peter is released, he reports back, the Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company, the ones that Jesus had established as their company, that church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard, they heard that, they, the church, that they were a part of, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And so as Peter reports back to the church, Peter knew of the importance of a unified church. Can I tell you that's the way Jesus established it. And 21 centuries later, it's still what's important. What church you are a member of is important, and you need to make sure that God has planted you in that church. Because not only has he planted you in that church, but he has given you certain spiritual gifts, and he has given you instructions so that you might be unified. And the more unified the church is, the more they can accomplish for the cause of Christ. And can I tell you that is the cause for believers around the globe. The cause of Christ is what is the number one main thing. The cause of Christ. In this area, in Indianapolis, right here, I mean, every member of this church needs to know that I am serving Christ in the church he's planted me in to be able to accomplish as much as we can accomplish as long as we're here. And I know there's limitations, and there's right now the church has been limited more than in the 41 years of ministry that I've been in that I've ever seen it limited, would never have thought. But I, again, we knew that the times were going to change and they will continue to change and things will get worse and worse concerning the teachings and the acceptance of the truths of Jesus Christ. Didn't know we see it in our lifetime, but there's no reason why we should have doubted it. And I don't know if this is the last of the last of the days or not. It is the last days, but it's been the last days for some time. But no matter how long Christ leaves his church here, it's important that we stay unified. Unified in supporting each other. Unified in supporting the leadership that God has established and placed in the positions that God has developed for the church. God's positions, no matter who is in that position or not, and that might change from year to year, from century to century, but the positions never change. People in the positions, but the positions never change. God has designed that position, and God has given authority and leadership in his church. There's no doubt about that. And it has to stay united. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now, Peter knew that he would accomplish two things. First of all, he knew that it would inform and enlighten the church. That was important because he had experienced some things that the church had not been told of. They knew that he had been arrested, but what happened when he was arrested and all the things that took place, they didn't have CNN to say one side and Fox to say another side, and they didn't have a newsletter, and they didn't have this and didn't have that. But God wanted to get to all the people the information that they needed. And he did that by the people bringing to the church information that was important for the entire church family to know about. And so Peter took it back to inform them as to the persecution, what it entailed, how they were persecuted, what they said to them while they were being locked up, all the different things so that they would know how to pray for what it was to come and others that might be persecuted for doing the same thing that Peter had been doing, and all Peter was doing is preaching Christ. And so Peter went back and reported back to keep the church unified and understanding what was taking place, enlightening them to what we're going to see in just a minute, Scripture. The Old Testament, so they didn't have the completion of the New Testament Scripture, but they had the Old Testament Scriptures. They had the prophecies of the Old Testament. They had the insight of David and the psalm that David would write. And it was very important that they heard that. And Peter took it back to them to help them to be informed and to be enlightened, so all would know what they needed to know. If you're not in church, you don't know all that you need to know. If you're not constantly being underneath the teaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God in the day and age that we live in, because in every, it's the same truths, but it's applied differently in the different generations. We have a whole new set of things to deal with in the 21st century that we're living in than they did in the first century. The truths are the same, but how to apply that? And the church is there to be able to take the Word of God and preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God and helping us understand how to apply them in the day and age that we live in. They don't change. The same truths that they lived by 2,000 years ago are the same truths we live by today, but how we apply those are no doubt different. They need to have that. We need to have that. And praise the Lord that we're able to stay connected even during this COVID thing through the live stream. But again, there's nothing like the assembling of ourselves together. Nothing like looking and in the face of one another without a mask on to know who they are. People look different with a mask on, you know. That's why the bandits wear masks when they would rob and stick people. But we have to, amen. But what a blessing when we come together and we're able to just inform one another, enlighten one another. And the second thing that Peter did by going back was to encourage others by what God had done. The encouragement. How we are to edify one another. How we are to encourage one another. It's hard to do that if you're not here. When something really unique happens, or a testimony is given, or a message is preached. But when we're here, we all get to share in some of the very same things that's going to encourage us. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. When they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They praise God together. Something about, again, just the strength of a church, like a family of God. Yeah. So he goes back. He immediately reports back to his church because he knows they need to hear, to be encouraged and informed and enlightened. In verse 25, he led them to recite an Old Testament psalm. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, and the key here is why. Why did the heathen rage? What got them all fired up against Peter? Why did they get fired up just because he healed in the name of Jesus? Why did the heathen rage? And then the people imagine vain things. They would recite this Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. They would recite these Old Testament verses to learn from David's writings. Psalm chapter 2. That's where it's at. Psalm chapter 2. The book of Psalms in chapter 2, verse 1. Why? David's writing this psalm. It's one that they would sing. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, they did it then in crucifying Christ and in the persecution of Peter. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's why. That's what he's talking about here. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And that's what they're wanting to do. But then the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Meaning that they're going to do that. The heathen are going to rage, and the people are going to imagine. They're going to try to do all they can against the church. But God, as the King of kings and Lord of lords, laughs. Because he knows his power. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Maybe that's why all the things that are taking place around the United States of America. Because God's lifting his hand of protection. And when God lifts his hand of protection, Satan will come in and destroy cities. There might even be some natural disasters taking place, somewhat like the Bible talks about in the last days. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. That's Jesus. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And that will come to pass. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. If you don't do this, then you're going to have to deal with the other. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust. That's better than a lot of the New Testament, amen? Praise the Lord for that. But Peter knew that's what they needed. Peter knew that even though he was persecuted, there was a connection in David's writings, in the Psalms concerning Jesus. And he presented that. He went back to the church to present that. You come to church, you hear the Word of God preached. You hear the Word of God explained so that you can learn how it can be applied today. And the circumstances that you have to face and I have to face. Yeah. That's what was happening. Yeah. Why? Because we have an enemy. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle taking place. That's why this happens. That's why the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. It's because we have an enemy. When we understand that we have an enemy, then we understand that we need the armor of God. If we don't understand that there's an enemy, then we don't understand and we will not put on the armor of God. And the only place that you're going to really understand that you have an enemy and you understand what the armor is in church. And when you come to church, you need to hear the Word of God preached. You need to hear the Word of God presented just as God has given it to us so that we might learn. We don't need to go to church to have our ears tickled. We don't need to go to church and have a preacher sit up there that's too embarrassed himself to preach on standards and convictions. We need standards to live by because the Bible teaches standards. We need convictions to live by because the Bible teaches convictions. If you don't get it from the church, you're not going to have it. And it's all part of the armor of God to deal with the spiritual battles that we're dealing with today and to fight the enemy that we have looking to devour us today. Praise God. For the church of Jesus Christ that stands upon the foundation of Christ and his word. We need it even more today than ever before. Go back to our text. That's what Peter was taken back. Verse 26 to 28. He reveals what God had allowed. Sometimes we wonder, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Job had some questions about that. Yeah. Churches that are being shut down in California asking that question. Why is God allowing the state to close down the church? Why is God allowing governors and mayors to discredit the need of a church and yet keep abortion doors open? And we sometimes cry out, Why is God allowing that? Peter had that very same thing. The church at that, right after they arrested Peter, what did Peter do? He healed a lame man. Verse 26. What God allowed. Sometimes only God knows the answers to those. But the truth is he has a purpose. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. Why did God allow them to stand up and crucify Jesus? That's what Peter is presenting here. For a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. But you allowed him to be crucified. Both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles. You would have expected as much from them. But and the people of Israel, who knew about the Messiah, who had the Old Testament scriptures, were gathered together. For to do, and here's what Peter says, whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. He's saying God allowed it. And anything that God allows, and there is a good purpose, or God would not allow it. Things must come to pass according to the prophecies of God, Old Testament. And that was prophesied that Jesus would be crucified. It was prophesied, the reasons behind it, all the details. Every detail had been prophesied, and now it was fulfilled. And Peter's reminding them of those things. We need to be reminded of those things. That God is still in control. He's still on the throne. And he will allow only what he will allow. Might be more than what we want him to allow. But he's God. You're not. He's God. I'm not. I would change a lot of things for a lot of church members if I was God and could heal, if I was God and could keep them from going through some of the trials and struggles of life. But I'm not God. Neither is anyone else. There's only one God. But trust in him, because if he allows it, then it had to be allowed according to his purposes. And he has a purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I trust this is getting across. This is powerful stuff. It's helpful things. 2 Timothy. It's what the Bible teaches us. You need to hear it preached. Verse 8, chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed, because God allows something that you disagree with, are you ashamed? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's going to be afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God has to allow persecution. God has to allow certain afflictions. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Oh. I don't get to choose. It's a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace for that purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus this far back, before the world began. You need God to understand that. No human psychologist can go far that far back. They might take you back to your womb, to your mother's womb, and they might deal with you as an infant. They might deal with you as a toddler, and they might deal with you as a teenager, and they might deal with you all through your life. But listen to me, for us to fully understand all things, we need God. But we have God. Hallelujah. That's why Peter's going back and he said, we need God to understand it, but we have God. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's called the providence of God. Providence of God. It's according to His will. And if it's according to His will, He knows exactly what you'll need to get through it. And He'll not put more on you than what you're able to bear without giving you a way of escape. That's the providence of God. They needed to hear that. Peter's taking it back to them. He takes them into Old Testament scriptures to help them to see what they were going to face in their lifetime. Go back at our text, verse 29, verse 30. Only got three more verses here. Because Peter knew they would face more persecution. And now the Lord, behold their threatenings. There's always going to be the threatenings of the world. Because they're always going to disagree with Christianity. They're always going to disagree with Bible. They won't always disagree with religion. They will allow people to have religion as long as religion doesn't disagree with their laws and what they've established. Yeah. And grant unto thy servants, he's leading them to pray for this, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Peter knew they would face more persecution, so he's leading them to pray for boldness in the midst of persecution so that they could speak the word, which is allowing the cause of Christ to go forward. That's the same today. Different types of persecutions, different set of circumstances. The same truth. But not only the boldness to speak the word of God, but he goes on. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Peter's saying that I might continue to be able to do what you empowered me and enabled me to do to the lame man in the name of Jesus. Can I continue to do that? Because that was the only reason I'm still alive. So he leads them to pray for the continuation of signs and wonders throughout the apostolic age, which was always God's plan. And Mark in chapter 3, and we'll not go there because of time, but Mark chapter 3 and verse 13 to 15, when Jesus was calling the apostles together, he gave them the power for signs and wonders. And he would have them use that as long as they were alive. The apostolic age ended at the death of the last apostle. It began when Jesus ascended up to heaven and left things to the apostles. And it lasted as long as the apostles lived. And it was a time of signs and wonders until that which God had completed was complete. And when that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with. That's the words of God. That's the completion of the New Testament scriptures. For now we have the full revelation. And there's nothing any more powerful than this right here. It is the key to living life with the blessings of a creator God. Nothing more powerful than that in your life. So then, lastly, verse 31. God's answer. He went back to the church, reported back to the church, and he leads the church to do everything we've done up to this point and ask for the things that they asked for, which was pleasing to God. Boldness to preach the word of God. Signs and wonders so that people might see that they had the hand of God upon their lives. And now we hear back from God. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The first thing that we see here in God's answer to them, the place was shaken, which was a sign of God's control over the earth. And God can shake the planet anytime he wants to shake the planet. God can bring a natural disaster or any blessing the planet can bring to us. God is in control of the planet. He doesn't need us. Understand that. He doesn't need us. We have no control over the planet. Now, we are to be good stewards of everything that God has blessed us with. God has blessed us with this planet, and we ought to be good stewards. But let's not turn away from God thinking that we can save the earth. No. Turn to God to save the earth. If we turn to God, then he controls the natural disasters. Now, some things I know, it's natural. It's just the way that God designed it. But God is in control. He can stop any natural disaster. And when you have the protective hand of God upon you, he can do it. The place was shaken. And then this happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, they've already, at Pentecost, they got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This was not a new indwelling of the Holy Spirit. No, once you get saved, you have God's Holy Spirit within you. But something about having the Holy Spirit inside of us, dwelling within us, we can have a fresh experience over and over again. You can't get refilled. No, that's not it. When you are filled, that means that they had yielded to it and they had a fresh experience with the Holy Spirit that dwelled within them. It was real to them. Some have never had an experience of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're saved and you have him, but you've never experienced it. Are you turning Pentecostal? No, I'm not. The way to experience it is to know he's there and yield. And when you yield, you're filled. And it's an experience of a right way to think. And when you're thinking right, it affects the emotions in your physical body. You'll feel right. One of the keys to having a right feelings is having right thinking. If you think hate, you know what you're going to feel towards somebody? Hate. If you think love towards somebody and you yield to that, you're going to feel love. That's how God designed us, and we have the free will of man. But God has now indwelled us after we received him. He's indwelled us with his Holy Spirit, and we can have a fresh experience every day by just saying, Lord, I yield to you. Give me your thoughts. Fill me with your feelings. I found myself lately been praying that a lot. Lord, I don't really like the way I'm thinking right now. Would you take that away and fill me with your thoughts? I don't like the way I'm feeling right now. God, would you take that away and fill me with your feelings? And I know it's real. I believe. I have faith to believe in the promises of God. And God has given me a promise that he's sealed me in the day of redemption, and he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Fresh experience. And then the third thing. And they spake the word of God. And I love this. With boldness. It's what they'd asked for. He asked. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Have you ever prayed for something and then God gave you exactly what you prayed for to the penny? Just to let you know, it's not a coincidence. It is an answer to your prayer. What'd that do for you? Yeah, cause you to rejoice, cause you to thank God, cause you to praise him. I think that did the same thing for Peter. In closing tonight, in 1 Peter chapter 3, this is what Peter would later write, and we have it recorded for us to know that Peter would write 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. I think he's happy and he just suffered for righteousness' sake. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear and with all boldness. No matter what persecution might come your way, what this world needs is the light of the true church. Jesus Christ. Let's all bow our heads. Praise the Lord for the message. How we need the encouragement. I trust that it helped you tonight. Whether you're here in the auditorium, in the gymnasium, or at home, still watching via the live stream. We need the influence of the church. And the world needs your influence as you have been influenced by the church. I trust we'll have the boldness to preach it. Father, we bow before you. And thank you, Lord God, for the truth of the life of Peter, and Lord, as we study this and how we're able to apply it, and I pray that all of us would be helped by this tonight. If there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that you'd help us to make those even now. In Jesus' name, amen.